Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and this week, our guest is Chris Berry, who is revolutionizing the way we look at education, and he's providing experts a way to monetize their knowledge. Now, Chris boasts a successful track record in the online coaching sector, having driven multi-million dollar revenues and achieving prestigious accolades like the 2, X Award and a Inc. 5000 recognition. As a former chief operating officer, he quickly steered a startup towards $10 million in annual revenue. After leaving his role as COO, Chris worked with dozens of coaches to help them build, sell, and scale their coaching programs. So without further ado, Chris, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you very much for having me, Alan. I'm looking forward to the discussion today.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I mean, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but a little bit about our educational system, something that I've been critical of on this show. And in this case, I went ahead and I've pulled up some statistics. So before you give your thoughts as far as our current education system, I'd like to share some statistics that I was able to pull up. And they start with an organization called the Program for International Student Assessment, which seems to be the high mark as far as a group that is going out and testing worldwide education and making comparisons. And it provides rankings in the areas of math, science, and reading literacy. And it compares them to other developed countries. And unfortunately, in mathematics, science, and reading literacy, the U.S. currently ranks slightly below average. And for some people, that may not seem like anything. For someone from my generation, I continued to dig deeper, and I learned that the decade when the United States education system ranked the highest globally is in the 1950s. That's a long time ago. And during this time, the U.S. experienced a surge in economic growth, technological innovation, and educational attainment, leading to a ranking of American schools as among the best in the world. And there were several factors at that time. You know, we were in a post-World War II boom. We had the GI Bill. We had a lot of technological advancements, and we had global leadership. The problem that I see now is that we have a system that seems to be more focused on indoctrination than education. So with that, Chris, tell me what your thoughts are.
I mean, there's a lot of things to unpackage. I think the statistics that you shared kind of give a glimpse as to what has been happening within our education system, not only in the fact of the unfortunate degradation of just kind of the skills and everything like that. You look at statistics of employment after the fact, you look at statistics and see that only 27, specifically speaking about more of college, university, higher education, only 27% of people actually use their college degree. And the prices of these on average are just going sky high. I mean, you have places like USC where you're looking to spend probably anywhere from $80,000 to $90,000 per year just to go ahead and get an education there. So without getting too deep into it, there's a lot of things that it's quite unfortunate because the U.S., you know, the land of opportunity, everyone coming here, yet we're seeing these things. It's quite alarming. And that's definitely one of the biggest reasons why I'm so passionate about this, because it's not like nobody should get educated. That's not it. It's just, how can we find a better way to get educated and really push people to have the knowledge that's going to allow them to be successful?
Well, I want to share a quote by Elon Musk that I thought was very interesting along these lines. Elon Musk said that he does not focus on college education. Yep. And the last people that he hires or the people he doesn't hire are the ones that are straight A students in college, because he said that is somebody who's learned how to take tests, and they've learned how to use that system. He said he prefers freer thinkers and people that are going to think outside the box and people who are going to come up with things that's not read in a book. He wants somebody who's thinking at a much different level. And I thought that was very interesting because I think that ties right into what you're talking about with coaching on a specific subject rather than kind of this broad, whatever you'd call it, institutional education.
Absolutely. It's really interesting. Of course, there are slight deviations and things just as times go. But do you know what system our current education system here in the United States is formed upon?
No.
It's actually formed upon the Prussian education system. So we go back into late 18th, early 19th century. You have Prussia, this big old empire. You know, they had just went ahead and had a defeat in the early stages of the Napoleonic Wars. And essentially what they said is, okay, we need more of two things. We need more workers to go ahead and fuel this war machine, and we need more soldiers. So how can we create this system that essentially breeds these two things, that indoctrinates them, that gets them to understand how to follow orders? We're not looking for people that are doing that. We're fighting for our survival right now. And that's where this traditional system of kindergarten through 12th grade actually was founded. And you even look at just the different techniques used, sitting in classes, memorization, a lot of that actually comes from this Prussian education system that was originally founded on making slaves, or you could call them workers, or soldiers for the Prussian war machine. So it's quite interesting when you look at that.
I was going to say that's very interesting to me because when you asked the question, what I was going to say was something very similar. I was going to say, you know, I would think that it had something to do with our own Industrial Revolution, which I think is kind of the same thing you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And going back to, because before we get away from it, love that quote on Elon Musk of the importance of understanding education. And there's another one where somebody was essentially criticizing him, saying you can't succeed in life in today's society without a degree. That's why you need to go to schooling to get all of these different things. And he essentially came back and said, it's actually not true, because don't confuse schooling and getting a degree with education. Because he essentially then even continued saying, look, I didn't go to Harvard, but the people that work for me did. So, and there's even other stuff about him talking about some of the visionaries of the world. And yeah, everyone's not going to be that visionary that's going to be like a Steve Jobs that makes Apple. But still, people still associate education with schooling, which doesn't necessarily need to be the case in the traditional sense that people think.
Yeah, I don't want to make this all about Elon Musk, but that reminded me of another quote that he said that I loved. Yeah. And it had to do with at the beginning of COVID, he started trying to investigate what was happening, and he contacted people at the Wuhan lab, and he did a lot of things to try to see what he could do to help. And he was criticized for it because people kept saying, well, you're not a doctor. You don't have the education. And he said, I have put together life support systems on spaceships. So tell me what you've done, and then I'll listen to your criticism.
Yeah.
So, that isn't something that you learn in a college in regards to being able to figure out things. In other words, it's like he's creating things that he's figuring out that we can't learn in school. And that's kind of the whole point of being able to have coaching is that we can focus on something that is very specific for what it is that we see ourselves doing in the future.
Yeah. And that's one of the hard parts because no disrespect. One of the biggest, I'll say, little nuggets of information I've been given is you have to listen to two types of people. And you have to be very cautious of what information you let into your mind, because the information and what you bring into your mind is what eventually becomes your reality. Essentially, the little piece of information is you need to listen to people who either have what you want or have been where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And this could include somebody that has done something or has led somebody into achieving something. The difficult part is in most of these colleges, universities, you have many professors that have never done it in the real world. It's all theory, right? You have business professors that are teaching you how to make a multi-million dollar business, yet they've never started a business themselves, because everything is great in theory until some calamity happens in business and you almost go bankrupt, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to try to point yourself as an expert of something when you really haven't done it yourself and you're just talking about theoreticals. So that's even one of the other gripes of not only is more and more people going down this path and not getting results, paying more money, yet they're being taught by people that really only understand at a high level, not the intricacies of what is needed to do that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think in so many professions, as we think about it, for me as an investigator, the first thing that I did was I found an investigator to go work for, and I interned with them. You know, if you think of what do doctors do? Okay, you go and you intern before you actually start practicing. And it goes right down the thing. Some of the greatest, actors of our time talk about the incredible coaches that they had to learn their trade. So why wouldn't we apply that to so many other aspects of our life?
Agreed.
So let's talk a little bit about, some of the coaching programs. Tell us a little bit about how it works, because essentially, you're creating coaches that are experts in their field already. So you have the people there, they've done what it is that is their particular expertise. How do you take them from somebody who knows the job to somebody who knows how to share that share that information with others?
Yeah. And you touched upon it very briefly, but it's a matter of taking the experts. Like, for example, if I want to learn how to become an investigator, you have decades of experience on it. So rather than going and learning something from a textbook, I so much rather just come to you and, okay, here's the steps you need to do. Okay, don't step there, because right there you have like a gigantic pitfall and you're going to get stuck there for a little bit of time. So don't do that. Make sure. So that's the benefit behind it. The hard part, though, is many of these people that have these high levels of experience, expertise in the space, they might not have the business acumen or understanding of how do I package this? How do I market it? How do I sell it? How do I deliver it? And on top of that, too, do something at scale, depending on what their needs and wants are. Because someone like you, I don't think at this stage in your life, you're looking to buy yourself another full-time job where you have all of these people that are just paying you a couple thousands of dollars. That's not your ideal scene. So obviously, depending on each one of the individuals I'm working with, it's going to be, what are your needs and wants? Obviously, many of these people have a desire and a passion to help others learn, to pass on the knowledge that they fought so much for, or had to struggle or had to go through hardships or whatever it is. So within that, it's a matter of packaging the information accordingly. Are you doing it in the form of a course where it's pre-recorded videos? Are you doing it in the form of a community where you have these, but then it's also the community kind of helps support each other and you have that? Are you doing one-on-one? And obviously, if you're talking about as a coaching business, building the most robust thing that generates the most revenue, you'd have all of these different steps built out. But some of these people, as I touched upon, they've already made their money and they're not looking to try to go ahead and buy themselves another job. But if they can make an extra $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month just by coming on to a Zoom once a week, maybe let's say 5 extra hours, just kind of touching upon this and that, coordinating with the team, they aren't opposed to it. So
it sounds like to me that this is something that that works. In other words, why today and why not 30 years ago? And would it be because of the internet, because of the fact, like what we're doing right now, we're on StreamYard. Whereas, 30 years ago, I don't know that I could have gotten this message out without writing a book, getting my own TV show or something like that. But now it seems like the time is right, where we have this ability to reach so many more people that we may not have thought were really interested in what it is that we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting thing to consider, because Musk says, or even as a theoretical, if you strip Elon Musk, we keep going back to Elon Musk. I mean, pretty cool guy. Let's say you strip everything from Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, whoever it is. Yeah. If you take every single monetary possession, everything that they have, they'll be a millionaire in the next 30 days, 90 days, right? It's a matter of what's in here. So that's the real power behind the internet, because what it did is that it democratized the ability to get access to that information. So one thing on the sales side, when maybe you're having a sales conversation as, let's say, a coach or a salesperson, first head coach, and you're talking to a prospect of that's considering buying this coaching program, one of the biggest things is, why can't I just go do this myself? Why can't I do it on YouTube and just Google? You absolutely can. Mm-hmm. And there's no problem with that, because really the information is out there. The hard part is that you're going to have one, there's many ways to skin the cat. There's many ways to get to said destination. So this coach might say, okay, go here. And then this person says, go here. And then they here. And then you just end up start getting confused. And it's trying to bake a cake with a mix of recipes from everyone, and it's going to get all messed up and everything. So you absolutely can eventually get to success. But the power behind it is you're having a clear step-by-step path from someone that's cutting out the BS and all of that. So getting back to the root question, why today? The internet has given us the ability to, I could be in Europe, in Asia, you could be in Panama, I could be in the US, wherever it is, and you could start sharing this information with other people. And on top of that, make it in a fashion to where it's not overbearing time-wise for you, for the other people and everything like that. So that's the real value of where we're at today. And it's only improving more and more, especially with the inclusions of stuff like AI, where you can literally take your lessons, your knowledge, and you could actually start training AI language models. You could essentially think about it as training another brain, another human, that can then help answer questions on support. It's not robust enough to, or I mean, there are systems out there that can get so robust that it could almost in a sense be a teacher. But for the average individual, it's not there yet, but you can still have so much that helps on that aspect too. So it's exciting where it's continuing to go to.
We're talking about coaching programs as a truly viable and beneficial form of education. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Chris, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about your experience in coaching, starting with you as a student.
Okay,
so sounds good. For everybody out there, you're listening to or you're watching Answers Network. We'll be right back.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're talking with Christopher Berry, and we're talking about coaching as one of the ways in which you can get your education, you can enhance your education, or you can use the knowledge that you have to start your own coaching business and then be able to share that knowledge with other people. When we went to break, Chris, I asked you about, obviously for people that are watching this rather than those that are listening, Chris is young. So share a little bit about your experience in coaching as a student, and then let's evolve from there into your experience as a coach.
Yeah, so I've always been interested and intrigued of how can I improve, how can I become better. So that led me books, led me on YouTube and everything like that. And at 18 years old, I was spending actually my first semester at university living in Rome, Italy. And during that time period, I wanted to travel as much as I could. So I was there for 16 weeks. 11 of the 16 weeks, I was some other European city. I stayed the first 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks, and then 1 week in the middle I had to because we had some service project. So whether it be Barcelona, Paris, Dublin, I just started exploring around and I fell in love with traveling, meeting new people, new cultures, new foods, all of it. And essentially at the end of this four-month time in Rome, I said, I need to find a way so that I can continue to make money, help people, and keep traveling like I just did, because that was amazing and I don't want to stop. So that's really when I started getting more headfirst into the coaching industry, because I looked for more viable answers. And like I touched upon previously, yeah, you can find some information on YouTube. It could just be very confusing. And so people find themselves, especially in the business realm, spending time or money and not getting a result. So there's a mentor of mine, a big entrepreneur, his name's Alex Hormozi, says, look, you're going to pay for it one of two ways. You're going to pay for it in a coach that's going to help shortcut the process. You're going to pay for it in mistakes and failures and time, whatever it is. So within that, I started getting deeper and deeper into how can I make money online? And that eventually led me into paying for my first coaching program, very small, it was like $300, just a couple of videos and everything like that, more designed around e-commerce, how to make money, creating your own website, selling products, everything like that. And then from there, I ended up trying most things under the sun in today's realm. You name it, I tried it, from drop shipping, from Amazon FBA, Kindle KDP, doing your own publishing of books, affiliate marketing, network marketing, stock trading. I tried it all. And I eventually came across high ticket closing. So essentially just a fancy way for being a salesperson of expensive stuff. And the niche that my sales mentor primarily pushed people into was actually the online coaching industry. And the reason why is because it is such high profit margins. And it's typically higher ticket, more expensive. So it's much more lucrative to sell something $10,000 as a salesperson and get commission from that instead of something $1,000 or $500. So I started off as a student buying all of these different programs to learn all of it. I then eventually became a salesperson where I started selling these coaching programs. And then through selling these coaching programs, I have a tendency to see holes in the boat, areas of improvement. And so I found myself getting more and more entrenched within the back-end operations, the delivery, optimization of this, and eventually got into that role that you touched upon previously of being COO for this coaching company, sales coaching company, mm-hmm. and then transitioning out and now working with other coaches.
Well, you know, as you were going through that, you were talking about, and one of the, you mentioned like drop shipping and all of the things. I too have tried a lot of different things, and I wish that I would have taken some form of coaching to understand those things, because what I found was that it was not as simple. So for instance, when I thought, okay, you know, my partner and I have come up with a great product. We think that people are going to love this product, but we didn't understand the idea of drop shipping. We didn't understand of having to store it. We wanted to take it on QVC, and we learned that we had to be able to produce, you know, 35,000 units of it first at our own expense and let them house it while, you know, again, while we're kind of sitting on all of that money. And there were all of these things, and again, this is years ago, but it's one of those things too. I wish I would have gotten a coach and learned those things first, because when you mentioned the part about you're going to pay for it making mistakes. Okay. Well, we kept making mistakes because we might be great investigators, or we, you know, whatever it is that somebody's doing, you might be great at that, but it didn't mean that I knew how to take it to the next level. I can feel that, you know, when you're making that statement, you're going to pay for it this way, or you're going to pay for it that way. I felt that.
Yep. And I laughed before, because as you were saying about, oh, this product's going to hit it, it's the same exact thing with me. I actually, the very first e-commerce store I started in late 2018, it was this pizza mat where it's like you roll out the dough and has like specific measurements. And I remember I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to make all this money and everything. And I spent like maybe $200 or something like that. And I'm like, nobody's bought anything. I failed. I shut it down. And I didn't touch it again. It's just like, you start getting these different things. And for example, if I were to ask you a question about investigation, about, hey, what do I do on this? You're, oh yeah, do this, 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 and this. And that's exactly the power behind coaching, because I talked to someone, I recently got connected with someone as I was traveling. It's funny how God put these certain people in our lives. I was in Colombia working at a co-working space. I heard English, so I just ended up walking and started talking to them. And this guy, he's a really successful marketer in the online coaching space. And he's talking about how he's launching this new program and doing all this different stuff. And he, having this extensive background in marketing, and me, this extensive background of sales, we started collaborating and doing all of that. And I was asking him some questions about my marketing. And he's like, oh yeah, just do this, 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 this. And then I flip side of sales too. I was just like, oh yeah, you want to do this, that. And he's like, what? How do you know? I'm like, dude, it's just as easy as it is for you on the marketing. It's that. So that's the power, because you can just expedite and make your path to success so much faster. And we could flip it back to open conversation, because I can get excited and just start talking. Yeah. But when it comes to an investment perspective too, there's so much power when you change your mindset as to what it is in that regard. So I'll leave it there as an open hook that we can come back to.
Well, it actually, we have a comment that is coming in. And again, I want to take this time to thank those people that choose to either send in comments, send in questions. We often get them from teachers who will send them in and say, well, your show is in the middle of the day. And so I'm teaching at that point, but I'm sending that, you know, a question in ahead of time. So if you have questions, go ahead and send them in ahead of time. This one is coming in right now. And this one is from Dr. Mark Burdick, and he comments from Amsterdam. And his comment is, anyone can benefit from a good coach by providing insight into whatever your chosen field is. I believe it doesn't matter if you have higher education or not, as long as you are open to gaining knowledge. I believe coaches help us to reflect in ways we haven't thought of. Please walk us through a case study of how one of your clients were most successful, and please give us an example of where it didn't work out for someone and why.
Yeah, I'm taking some notes because I want to touch upon a couple of points. The first thing that he said in his, we'll call it prelude to the question at the end, was open to learning, something along those lines. And that's one of the most important things.
Yep. Yeah. Open to gaining knowledge.
Exactly. And those are two of the most important factors whenever working with anybody inside of as a client or person inside of a coaching program, is you need to, number one, having high willingness to learn, and also have a high willingness to accept change. Because you could be willing to learn in all of these different things, but unless you apply the knowledge, unless there's some sort of change, the information is useless, right? That's one of the biggest things that I share with coaches, and they in turn pass to their students, is look, if you're just here and you don't apply anything, this is just entertainment. And so, cool, if you just enjoy the sound of my voice, great. If you want to actually have meaningful change, then you need to implement and take action with this information. So going back to the question, what is a case study of somebody that was not successful? Those are some of the two biggest things: willingness to learn and willingness to accept change. If a person has a closed mind, you can bring the horse to water, but you can't force the horse to drink. So that's definitely one of the biggest aspects that lead people to not being successful. Another aspect is just taking action too. And I'll even touch upon another thing: limiting beliefs. It is crazy. Some people have conscious limiting beliefs that hold them back from achieving certain things. There are people that have unconscious limiting beliefs. Have you ever heard of the thermostat analogy?
No, I haven't.
So essentially, there's an analogy that says you have an internal thermostat. Let's call it 75 degrees. And this could be likened in any aspect of life: fitness, wealth, whatever. We'll use wealth as an example. So let's say you're making X amount of money right now, and you're at 75 on your thermostat. And then all of a sudden in business, you start doing the right things and your thermostat starts heating up, and you start making more money, and everything starts going really well. Oh my gosh, this is awesome. You're now 85. You start getting close to 90. You're making more money. The thing is, though, is that if your internal thermostat, your internal beliefs about who you are, what you're capable of doing, what you're worthy of, if that thermostat is always kept at 75 and you don't improve your mindset to believe that I am worthy of being a 85, a 90 or 100, whatever it is on that wealth scale, then eventually what will happen, as I said, conscious or oftentimes it happens subconscious. The body will start turning on the AC to bring you back down to your 75 degrees. This could be avoiding taking certain actions. This could be procrastination. This could be entering into certain deals. It's even something of coaches I've worked with. They're doing really well. They're starting to make more money, more money, more money on this one product in this one channel and everything. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I know we're doing like 100K a month on this and we want to get to like 300, but like, let's just try this new product. Like, I think it could be, wait, what? Like, this is working well. We're growing. The channel's there. There's all of the synergy that's going on. You just want to completely turn your attention away from this. Of course, there's good things about diversification, adding additional stuff. But if it's completely aside from it, it doesn't make sense. You need to keep first things first and focus on the first level principles. So that's the level of the thermostat. And one of the things that holds people back from being successful is the own internal limiting beliefs that, as I said, conscious or subconscious, that they won't be able to achieve something, that they eventually start self-sabotaging themselves and all of these different things. I mean, there's even coaches I know that they go and they're doing really well. They're focused, they're dialed in. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to go take a 3-week vacation to Mexico and do that. And they want to go party and club and all that stuff because they're making money. It's like, hold on, what? Like, and all this stuff just starts falling apart. And it's the same sort of thing of it's a self-sabotage and they don't even realize it in the moment because it's all subconscious. So getting now,
from a coaching standpoint, I love the fact that you're touching on this and I thought of a couple of examples of it. But is part of your training or you're helping somebody that's establishing their own coaching practice based on their own expertise. How do you keep them from doing that? Is that part of the training on being able to get them to, I guess, look inward enough to avoid these types of self-sabotage or self, I guess you'd call it self-correcting of the thermostat?
Yes. So self-sabotage is a good word to use too. In short answer to your question, yes, it is. And within it, in the coaching space, there's a quote that's thrown around and needs to be understood very carefully because it can be misinterpreted. Because the saying is you need to sell people what they want and give them what they need. Because if you were to go ahead and tell, let's say you're selling somebody on a vacation to Hawaii. If you told them, hey, you're going to need to show up to the airport 3 hours early. You're going to have to lug around all these heavy bags. Your back's going to hurt. You're going to have this person that's going to cut you off in line. You're going to have this annoying agent that does this or that. Then you have to squeeze in this seat next to a person that is a little overweight, that's over encroaching on your, if you start selling that, like they're not going to want to do it. Right. But that's what they need to do in order to get there. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is instead you need to sell them on that beautiful beach sitting along the white sand, the crystal clear blue water, the breeze coming through. Right. So you need to sell them what they want and give them what they need. And within that, especially as a salesperson and as a coach, you need to make sure that they are capable of doing these things within the need. And giving them little bit by bit. So I say that because in giving these coaches or anybody, whether they're talking like a client of a coaching program or the coaches that I work with, you do have to give them what they need. And I can't all day one just be like, hey guys, you need to fix this, 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 this. It doesn't work like that. It's typically a process that takes time to overcome these limiting beliefs. In short though, yes, it's vitally important to do this. Otherwise depending on people's background, because some people have more limiting beliefs than others, they will start self-sabotaging. They will not get to their level of success if it's not handled. So it's definitely an important thing that needs to be done that does sometimes cause things to go a little bit slower than the desired progress. It's a natural part of getting there to have a long-term success because the people I work with, I'm not just like, let's just pump and dump. Like make a couple million, couple hundred thousand dollars, and then okay, done, and you ruin your reputation because that happens. It's a long term game in my eyes.
Well, where Dr. Burdick asked to walk through a case study where the client was most successful, can you think of one where part of their success was that you had to get them past that self-sabotage hump?
Yeah. Another thing on the self-sabotage is even just limiting beliefs of what is possible. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. And I don't say this in any sort of conflation of me, whatever. I was literally looking last week. I was going through with this client and I was talking about like when I first started. And as a salesperson, I started off as like an appointment setter. I then became a closer. And then I ended up building my own sales agency. So what I would do is I would reach out to a coach and I would essentially come on as an external sales arm into their business to help them grow. And this one client that we came on with, it was literally me. I was, 20 years old at the time. And I hired my 16-year-old cousin, my 17-year-old cousin, and a couple other people. I think the oldest person was like 24 and stuff like that. I think there were like six of us in total. And I was looking back at the statistics because this client was asking me about it. And I looked and I realized that in the first 2 months of working with this guy, we sold $190,000 for this guy's coaching program. And I remember the sentiment I had back then was like, damn, like we missed the mark. Like we could do so much more and everything like that. And then I sit back today and like I talk to these different coaches. I'm like, shit, like 190K, it's not terrible, you know?
No.
So I say that because when you're talking about limiting beliefs of what's possible or not possible, that was one of the biggest mindset shifts I had of like, okay, that, for example, in the first 2 months, or even in the sales coaching, like it was literally our sales mentor, he was in his mid-30s, but most of us were in our early 20s. And we're just going out and just sending a ton of messages, making a ton of calls and everything. And literally within the first 90 days, we had done $1 million in sales on that as like a bunch of 20-year-olds. And so when I went ahead and looked back, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I thought it had to be so difficult. I had to be this, and this. I had to struggle. I had to get a couple thousand. Things can change so quickly. And of course, it's not like it was just overnight. I mean, my sales mentor was extremely intelligent. He understood these things. He had been grinding for years and years and years to get to that point and then put all these things in place and gave us the tools to succeed. Absolutely. That's the thing though, of once people make that shift of like, okay, this is possible, then everything becomes so much easier. So going back to the root question, a person I worked with, a very successful woman in the real estate investing space, and she had all these people that were coming up to her saying, hey, help me with this, help me with that. Specifically when it came around like technology, AI implementation and all of that. And she was just so busy within her existing stuff. She's like, go Google it. Go like open a ChatGPT account, ask it questions. And she eventually came to me because I know her. I also do some real estate and we know each other through that. And she started talking to me about it. And her mind was like, is this even possible? I'm like, yeah, of course it's possible. Mm-hmm. And so went ahead, we crafted all these different things. And literally she went from like idea to first 30 days after launching, we did, it was like $76,000 or something like that collected on like a brand new something. So the biggest thing is people often restrict themselves to what is possible or not possible in their head before they even then take action. So if you, whatever you tell, whether you, there's a Henry Ford quote, whether you believe you can or not, you're right. So many people I know can constrict themselves to it only needs to be this or that, rather than if it were possible, if I could get there, how do I do that? You know, so that's definitely one of the biggest things, that once you come over that hurdle, everything becomes a lot easier.
All right. We're speaking with Christopher Berry. We are talking about coaching programs. And if it sounds like we're getting excited, we are.
That is true.
It's great. I love this. But we are going to take a break, but we will be right back. Stay with us. And if you're out there and if you know somebody and you go, you know, Uncle Bob, he's always wanted to do something like this. Okay, text him now. Tell him to tune in. We'll be right back. You're listening to or talking, or you're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Having a teenager at risk who is going through a traumatic experience can be difficult on parents, siblings, and all who are working with that young person. No family should have to go through this process alone. Westshield Adolescent Services is here to ensure you don't have to. Many of the psychologists and psychiatrists we work with have spoken about the stress families go through. Not just the young person, but the parents, needing to get their child to a program where they can get the help they need. Westshield aims to lessen that stress. Every case goes through a thorough intake process with one of our knowledgeable, compassionate intake coordinators. We want to know the likes, the dislikes, and the fears of each child. This important information is taken into consideration when choosing the best suited team member for each individual teenager. Westshield agents come from all different walks of life, giving us a diverse group of team members to ensure a personalized, compassionate experience for every teenager. This allows us to make certain every young person we work with gets to the chosen program in the best possible state of mind. We contacted over 600 of the youth we've worked with in the past to see where they're at now. 97% of these individuals told us how much their lives had improved, that they had better relationships with their friends and families, had gone on to marry, have kids, and were now using the skills they learned in their program to raise their own children. Our role of transporting at-risk teenagers is a vital step in the process of ensuring a youth's ability to thrive in their new environment, and is a role we don't take lightly. The recovery process can be a long one, but like any journey, it started with a single step.
And we're back. We're talking with Christopher Berry. We are talking about coaching programs. We're talking about education. We're talking about things that are going to make all of our lives better. And I have another question that has come in. This one reads, I'm a recent law student graduate. I would like to find a coach who has dealt with a variety of types of law to expedite my ability to open up a practice. Where do I look?
That's a phenomenal question. And I'd say that's one of the biggest things of the current state that is oftentimes difficult of how do you really find someone that's reputable, that has the background, that's going to help you on it. So one of the first things I'd say is, this might sound silly, but Google search and also social media too. That's one of the biggest things that the coaches I work with, it's how do you get your brand out? Because there are so many people that, for example, on this law one, you might have someone that's an absolute expert that has their coaching program, but they don't have their marketing system built out. People will never find you. So what I would recommend for you is go on Google, start looking up these different things and start just analyzing a couple of these different ones, even looking up on social media too, like law tips, law practice, starting your own practice, YouTube. You start doing that. Somebody who has a robust ecosystem, you'll be able to find them very quickly. And then also, this is the beautiful part about it. On Facebook, Instagram, or any social media platform, once you start scrolling and you get ads, if you actually click on them and you opt into the message, what will happen, you'll typically get more messages like that. So if you find, if you start interacting with a couple of these profiles of law coaches, whatever it is, and then you eventually go ahead and start clicking on some of the ads, you'll get a lot. in front of people, right? And there's obviously a lot of intricacies of first crafting your program and everything like that. But let's assume you have all of these things sorted out first. You have it all there. You just got to put yourself out there on all social platforms, the major ones, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, X, all of these different ones, and just really start doing that. Of course, you could do that through organic. Organic's really great to get people to get to know you, interact with you, trust you, because that's another thing too that's really important. We actually, there was a study done very recently that said in the United States, in recorded history, we right now are at one of the lowest points of person-to-person trust in recorded history. So the thing is that, and especially in the online coaching space, there's a lot of people, it's really starting to grow. And so people are actually becoming more and more skeptical when they see these advertisements. Mm-hmm. So they immediately are going to think scam. And that's one of the biggest things of, in order for the online coaching industry to reach that next level and help improve the education system, it has to be legitimized. And the hard part is you do have some bad actors in the space that do that. So I have a tendency, as you can see, I get excited. I start going all these different directions. The root thing, start building out your marketing ecosystem, get your brand out there. Organic traffic and just making content is really good. Also, if you want to have a further reach and stuff, obviously marketing also needs to be done with the intention of making money within that. But paid traffic as well is another way to throw more gasoline onto the fire and reach people faster, like this person. Because that's the great part about something like a Facebook ads, Google ads, all of these different platforms. I can go ahead, let's say this person that was interested in learning how to do it, this individual is naturally going to follow certain things on social media. Let's say they have these tips or that tips or whatever it is. I could even go, this is the crazy part, you can actually even target demographics of how much income somebody makes on these different platforms and location and everything. So I can go ahead and specifically target this individual that has these interests, if I'm the attorney law coach, and go ahead and directly go after this person too.
I love it. So I'm checking. We've got about 3 minutes. The time has flown by.
It has.
Give us a little bit just in regards to if somebody's out there, how do they get in touch with you? You know, what can you give them in just a minute or two in regards to how they can get in touch with you and what they might expect?
Yeah. So the company name is TD Coach. So if you could look up our website, T as in Trinity, D as in Delta dot coach. You could find us online. You could also find me on all social platforms at the Chris Berry. Chris Berry, just spelled like you see right here. And essentially, I work with coaches on all different aspects, whether it be I just have an idea and I want to turn this into an actual business and monetize it, or whether you're a coach that's doing $5,000, $30,000, and just want to get to the next hurdle. Obviously, for each one of these different steps in your coaching program journey, there's different things that you need to focus on. So I have different programs that specifically go after that are very actionable. Like I said before, knowledge is great, but you're not paying me just to get entertainment. You're paying me to get a result. So I'm very action oriented, making clear step-by-step path to make sure that people can actually achieve success and results by going through all of this stuff.
I love it. I wish we had more time. We should come on again. And yes. you touched on a few things, and I saw both of us could have gone in other directions. Yeah. And I kept trying to hone myself in. So I think we both have that possibility. So again, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. If anybody's out there, if you're driving, if you weren't able to write any of that down, we'll make sure all this information is in the show notes. And you know, see this as an opportunity. You know, there's so many things going on out there that you can kind of get a negative feel from. This is something that's just so positive because it allows you to be able to go out there, make a difference in the world, and whatever your dream is, this is a way to be able to make it happen. So again, Chris, thank you so much.
Absolutely. One last thing. I know we have about 30 seconds, then we got to wrap up. The beauty and power behind this is that you can make substantial money while having time freedom, location freedom to do whatever you want. And there's so many people that have this heart just to help others. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, because you can turn something that is a passion that's really working to improve the world and make it something that's a profession that gives you the time freedom, whatever that is that you're looking for. So that's why I'm so passionate. You touched upon that right there, and it just felt on my heart to add a little bit in.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Thanks again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. For everybody out there, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you just click that like button. And if you're interested in seeing more content like this, make sure that you subscribe to the show. Check out some of our other shows on our channel or our website, which again is answers.network. It's that simple. Or you can also find us on any of the major social platforms. Next week, we're going to be joined by Eric Leskowitz, MD, and he's going to discuss the healing superpower that the majority of the people in the United States aren't even using. So I'll leave you with that. For everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.